Hello everyone, and welcome to the Osteopod. In this episode, I wanted to share some thoughts and some analysis that I did of the match, as that is something that is present on my mind, and for a lot of you fourth-year medical students out there, and soon-to-be fourth-year medical students as well. I think this is an important topic, especially with the ACGME, kind of combining the AOA and the match system for MDs. I know they say it's not really a merger, but for lack of a better term, it sort of is. And so I wanted to kind of flesh out, look at the data and see what kinds of changes the ACGME merger would have on DOs in specific. And to do so, I looked at the raw match data from last year's cycle, so ending earlier this year in 2019, and I also took a look at the document that the NRMP put out specifically for DOs, which is of the osteopathic match rates from the year before in 2018, and I will include a link to both documents in the show notes if you want to peruse a little bit further. And I'm not going to make this a numbers-heavy podcast. I just wanted to get through some of the summarized thoughts and impressions that I've gotten through this exercise. And so, focusing on DOs and looking at the data, the first thing that I noted was the steady increase in DO applicants in the total overall pool. Of course, there are more U.S. allopathic seniors and IMGs than DOs. DOs come in third. But the overall amount of DOs in the pool increased by about 700 applicants in this last cycle. I feel like this in this last cycle, while it's not the official ACGME merger yet, a lot more DOs participated in this main match because of the drop in AOA-specific residencies. In preparation for this merger. So a lot more DOs are participating in the match last year, and of course that will probably increase a little bit more for this year. But the other thing to note is that about 1,000 of program spots were added to the main match. And so, of course, those came from AOA-protected residencies for DOs. And I didn't get to look at, what kinds of specialties these were in specific, but I would assume that they are mostly primary care oriented. And so you have to take all that into consideration when you look at the match rate and percentages that are reported in this new report. Overall, the match rate increased, and so everyone at least was able to get a residency spot. However, I noted a trend that more and more applicants got a spot that was a little bit lower on their rank order list, or ROL, than in years before. And so I think that is the second piece of information or advice that I would apply to myself and to anyone who's listening, is that as you create your rank order list after you interview, try to make it as large as possible, and we've been told that before. But I think it's really important because since everyone is going through the same match, there are going to eventually be more applicants for your particular program and specialty than there was before. And so with increased competition, whether it's MD or DO, there is going to be a higher chance for you to get a program that is a little bit lower on their rank list. And I also speak of this from personal experience and looking at some of the fates that my previous class, or the classmates ahead of me, former match participants had. I feel like a lot of them, while a lot of them did get a program that was high on their list, some of them did not, ending up with somewhere of, 8th, 10th, or even, down to 15th on their rank order list. And of course, this is very variable based on specialty, and so you have to take that into consideration. But I feel like the takeaway from this is that you should be putting down programs that you do feel comfortable going to, even if it's your last spot. Feel comfortable moving to that location if necessary, working in that location, and being comfortable with what the program has to offer. So don't put anywhere, don't rank any place that you would not want to go to, because they're not playing any games and you might be put there. And so there's that. I also took a look at the Scramble statistics, or the SOAP, S-O-A-P. For those who don't know what that is, if you, during match week, don't get that email on Monday morning saying that you matched any residency that you interviewed with, you can apply for the SOAP. I forget what it stands for, but it's a quick, very quick and dirty version of the residency interview season, where you call and potentially either just call, phone call, or Skype programs in a particular specialty within a few days and hours, and you get offers within that week that which you choose to accept or not. And then by the time Friday rolls along during match week, you can get an email saying that you got accepted to a certain program, whether that was through the NRMP or whether it was through the SOAP. Looking at the data from last year, it looks like the amount of DOs participating in the SOAP increased, while other groups decreased. I don't know if that's because there were a lot more DOs participating in the SOAP or in the main match than there was before. There was something interesting that happened during last year where they go through different cycles during the SOAP of doing quick over the internet interviews with applicants and offers. They go through a few cycles of those during that week. And so typically I feel like there should be at least three cycles where you can choose to accept, but if you choose to reject, you can interview some more and choose to accept a second offer if it comes. There was some technical difficulties last year, and unfortunately that did not happen. And so I feel like a lot of people got gypped. And if they did not like the program, or maybe they were trying to hold out for a different, better program, they unfortunately missed that opportunity due to technical difficulties. So, moral of that story is, if you are going through the SOAP, be prepared to interview and hopefully get your choice program and be comfortable with that program by the first offer, in case something bad may happen. And for whatever reason, there could be various reasons why DOs in specific were increased in percentage during the SOAP. But I think it's due to just increased numbers in general. And hopefully this next piece of advice that I'm going to talk about later will help all of us avoid the SOAP in the first place. But before that, I do want to talk about the top specialties that DOs go into. Whether that's because DOs are more inclined to go into these specialties, or whether those were the specialties that tended to accept most of the DOs. Statistics after the SOAP match, I don't think they do, but if they do, it does make sense, because I would assume a lot of these programs that are reaching out for the SOAP are involved with primary care. And so the top DO specialties include medicine, family, neurology, pediatrics, and anesthesia, with a few others like emergency medicine falling pretty close behind, and pathology as well. All the programs that I mentioned before, the five that I mentioned, were at least 90% and above match rate for DOs in those specialties. The worst ones were the surgical specialties, including general surge, neurosurg, orthopedics as well, including interventional radiology and dermatology, which have classically been more competitive specialties anyway. So that makes a lot of sense there. But it seems like DOs like to go into these more primary care-based specialties, and the trend continues as it has before. Now, the last piece of information that I got from this was looking at the typical stats of DOs that matched into a program versus those who did not match. And this is in addition to rank, order, list, length. And so the more programs you rank, the higher the chance you get to match, and that makes sense. I've heard that if you have about 10 to 15, of course this may change based on your specialty, then you should be in pretty good shape and have good odds of getting into a specialty program. But the other factors included into that, I feel like getting your foot into the door of these interviews at these programs are definitely your COMLEX and STEP scores. This isn't new news, but really there was not much difference between the amount of volunteer work, experiences, research, publications as well. They all seemed to be around the same number among those who matched and those who didn't. But the numbers that did change significantly to me were the COMLEX and STEP scores, whereas, for example, the average matched COMLEX 1 score was 547, whereas unmatched was 509. And STEP 1 was a 227 with an unmatched STEP 1 score of 220. And so there is some discrepancy there, and those with higher STEP or COMLEX scores, board scores, do get interviews. This is probably due to the application screening process, where program directors, looking at the various applications that they receive, have to sift through them fast to send out interviews. And one of the first ways they may do this is through weeding people out based on their COMLEX or STEP score. Now, COMLEX and STEP, I think that's another debate whether it's better to take one or the other or both. Of course, we have to take COMLEX anyway as we're DOs, and we need to do those to pass. So the question is, do I need to take STEP as well? I think it depends on specialty, and I feel like those specialties that are a little bit more MD heavy, I would generally give the advice to take STEP 1 or 2 anyway, at least to have COMLEX scores to back you up if need be. But regardless of that, if the higher the COMLEX or STEP scores, the better chance that certain programs who do tend to sift out applicants based on COMLEX or STEP scores in the first place, you'll be able to at least get your foot in the door and prove yourself to be a good fit through the interview. So that about wraps it up. Those are my thoughts on the match rates for DOs in the past couple of years. If you have any questions or suggestions or comments for this particular episode or for future episodes of The Osteopod, you can reach out to me at theosteopod@gmail.com, and I'll include that email in the show notes below. Otherwise, thank you for listening, and hope to catch you on the next episode.